The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon.
Our guest today is Nancy McLaughlin. Nancy is a master artist and has been an alien experiencer since childhood, although she prefers the term visitors because she has serious doubts about whether they are truly alien. And most recently, she is the author of her engrossing new book, Visitors from the Phenomenon. Nancy suspects at least some of them have been sharing our planet for millennia. She says that they have abducted her children and forced her to keep half of her life secret. She says, quote, "In the end, they forced me to grow, and maybe that is what their point all along." Nancy gave a presentation at a recent Michigan MUFON meeting, and although I've interviewed many experiencers in the past, I felt her account is one that really should be brought to light. I'm happy to have her with us today. Hello, Nancy.
Hi.
How are you today?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's our pleasure. So, Nancy, when was your first recollection of something strange in your life?
When I was around 6 years old, I have a cousin, had a cousin, he passed, but we were the same age within a month. And we saw a disc on the ground during the day behind my grandmother's house in Carson City, Michigan. And we remembered, both of us, running towards it because it didn't mean anything to us. We thought it looked like something we could climb on. So we ran towards it, and it shot up in the sky and took off in a zigzag fashion. And later, my mother went out there and found a burnt spot on the ground and some holes, but it didn't really mean much to us for a long time. You know, it was just an interesting story, and I remembered it because it was kind of exciting, and I thought that's all there was to it until I was hypnotized.
When you were hypnotized, what came up?
Suddenly, it had a door that I never noticed before that was open, and this little figure who was not gray, he was almost completely white, wearing a white suit, and I felt like he was beckoning us, like, you know, come over here, and I didn't want to go over there. And then the next thing I remember, I'm inside of something. I assume it's this disc, sitting on a metal table. And there's two small grays. And there's a larger one, but he's not really interacting much. And the small ones were pointing a little light at me, and they took a scraping off my arm, and they cut a piece of, I saw a piece of my cousin's hair. He had blonde curly hair, so I saw one of the curls in a it looked just like a regular glass Petri dish. And they told me they were going to make another little girl, which I did not like. And
Did they explain how they're going to do that using your DNA or what?
there was just they said that nope, they didn't explain it. I'm thinking it later on there was a discussion about this years and years later, but at that time that's all I knew. And that they were going to make another little girl, and I didn't like that. For some reason I felt like it would upset my dad. I didn't want my dad to know that they were making another little Nancy somewhere. And I remember them pulling out the leg of my shorts. It was like this double knit fabric, and they were interested in the stretch, I guess. They pulled it out and let it snap back a couple of times, and then looked at each other and I guess communicated something. And then the next thing I know, I'm outside. And I don't know how I went from being inside to being outside, but I heard them say in my head, "Run, because it's not good for you to be here when we take off." So, originally all I remembered was seeing it and then running back to the house. So this is where it picks up with what I remember, and that's running back to my grandma's house.
Yeah, so as normal, you remember the consciously, you remember the onset and the aftermath, but nothing
Right.
else.
Yeah. And I didn't think about it at the time. I didn't think about it until I started writing things down to write my book. But I realized that that is about the same time that I developed some weird phobias. Like there was a fuel oil tank on legs behind my grandma's house. And I became really scared of that fuel oil tank for some reason. And I didn't like being in near the window where I could see it. I felt like it was watching me. And I think I associated it with the ship, you know, with some big metal thing on legs. I didn't know why I was afraid of it, but it just loomed in my in my head whenever I was in the house that I didn't want that thing looking. And some weird things happened in my grandma's house after that too, which I did not connect. I just connected it to the fact that maybe because my grandparents had passed away about that same time that it was one of my grandparents, but I started seeing a figure on the stairs in their house. We moved into that house for a while, and that was about that it for that. That same summer, I think it was the same summer as far as I can recollect, I was with my same cousin again and his sister at their house by St. John's. And the three of us were in a barn that was out behind the house. And the way the corn was planted sort of blocked the view of the barn door from the house unless you were on the second story. So we were out of view, and both of us were around 6, and his sister was around 5. And
How old were you at the time?
Jim and I were, oops, I shouldn't have said that name, but we were about 6, and his sister was 5, and we were in this barn playing, and they got in a fight. And he went in the house, and I was in the barn, and she was in the doorway, you know, sort of in the light, sitting on a wagon. And I something caught my attention, and I looked up in this. And then it was a man, but I look back on it now, and I think that wasn't a man, but he was real white, like the figures I saw before, dressed in what I thought was a black turtleneck and pants.
Okay.
And I thought he had big black sunglasses on because I couldn't see his eyes. I would try to see his eyes and I'd just see these big black areas. And he just kind of silently oozed out of the corn, without making any sound, and kind of glided towards my cousin. And she had her back to him facing me, but I saw it and I thought, oh, he's going to grab her. And I didn't know what to do. I was afraid and afraid he was going to grab her. And he got pretty close when I must have moved or something, because his head snapped up and he looked at me, and he just silently slid back and oozed into the corn again without making any sound. And I think that was the scariest entity I ever saw in my whole life. There was something just very bad about him.
Was he completely in black? Completely,
Yes.
huh?
Yep. It was hot, like July in the summer. And he was dressed from neck to feet, except his hands and his face, in black. And my perception then was, wow, why is he wearing a turtleneck in the summer?
Why is he oozing out of the corner, right?
Yeah, right. And under hypnosis, I remembered pretty much the same thing, and I still couldn't see his eyes. It's just like a blur where each eye is. So I still don't know if he was wearing sunglasses or he had big black eyes. But
I was going to say, is it possible that those were his eyes?
yeah, I don't know. I can't, when I try to see it, I cannot see it clearly. It's like I look at him and I see off to the side of his face, and I try to center and I see off the other side of his face. And I can't look directly at him.
What color were his hands and face?
White, like really white.
Because I was going to ask you if you're familiar with shadow people, what they call shadow people.
Shadow people?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm interested, but what I've had, we've had one my whole life. I've never been afraid of it, and it didn't look anything like him. I mean,
Describe this shadow person. Does it hide behind walls, or does it come right out and say hi?
no, it peeks around doorways, it wiggles its fingers, it walks through the room, it stands and looks at you from the side. It's like a it's about the size of a 13-year-old, maybe, and I never get a direct look at it. And my mom saw it too, and she called it the almost was, because it
The
was
what?
almost there, but not quite.
It
So that's what we
almost
always
was?
called it. Yeah, so it was always, we've always said the almost was. I
Oh,
saw the almost was today.
almost was.
And it was never, go ahead.
Do you have security cameras around your house?
No.
You ever consider getting security cameras and kept trying to catch this guy when, if you see him once in a while, that's all well and good. But if you
Has
sense,
anybody ever caught one?
oh yeah, you
They
ever,
have?
there's a show called Paranormal Caught on Camera. Familiar with it?
I think I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever watched it.
It's on the Travel Channel,
Okay.
and some. Usually during the day, they have a marathon of these shows and new ones on Sunday night. I'm not trying to plug this show, but just
Right.
so you can watch it, go to the Travel Channel and check out.
I'd be really interested to see if somebody else caught something that looks
Yeah,
similar.
and this is why I asked you about shadow people. I was asking about the being with the big black eyes, could that have been a shadow person? But
Yeah, that was just as real and clear as clear. I mean, I don't know what it was, but
It was
the
full
shadow
body.
people I see are the shadow people are kind of smoky and
Yeah.
indistinct.
And sneaky, like you said.
Right, yeah, they're I don't know, it's almost like they're tricksters or something.
Yeah.
I've had one appear and the whole family in the room seeing it at the same time, doing something like popping in a doorway and wiggling its fingers and disappearing.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, like pay attention to me, but I don't know. I always hear people say that they're scared of them or they do bad things. I don't think this one ever did.
So, do you feel that that entity was alien as well? And when I say alien, I mean someone, something from one of those
It's
craft.
not human. It's
Not human,
not human.
but was it? Do you think it was from one of those craft that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Even though.
As an adult looking back at what it was wearing, it was, I would guess that it was something like a flight suit or, some kind of unibody, one piece black something or other.
All right. But not the characters that you see in the in your house sneaking around the corner, right?
No, it's not even similar.
Okay, so you've got the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah.
But I would check into that paranormal caught on camera on the Travel Channel. They have so much paranormal stuff on the Travel Channel. They should change the name of it to the Paranormal Channel, in my opinion.
That would be really interesting to see if somebody else seen it.
Yeah, they've seen it, and they have security cameras in their home, and they have pictures of it. So they, you tell me, "Oh, I saw this." Well, I believe you because I've seen them on paranormal caught on camera. But if you can show these, look what I caught on camera sneaking around the corner. Well, then nobody can doubt you.
And I haven't really seen it for several years until I wrote this book, and
Really?
now it's back.
Ah, you stirred it up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's the in the fact, yeah, I saw it lean around my refrigerator and look at me twice in a week. And I hadn't seen it for a long time before that.
Yeah, I'd strongly suggest you get some security cameras in the areas where it has been showing up.
Gosh, I'm not sure I want to have proof it's real.
That's like my sister. We had a sighting when we were kids, and well, we had more than a sighting, so I find out my sister was abducted, and so was I. But I don't recall the abduction, and she only recalled it under hypnosis. And she says, "Why don't you get hypnotized, David?" And I said, "No, I don't want to."
I didn't want to either for I tried to get myself to do it for at least 20 years, and every time I would consider it, I would start having horrendous nightmares. And I would get so I was having to go downstairs and sit on the couch with my dogs to sleep, and it was just awful. And so I couldn't make myself do it. And then I don't know what it was, just suddenly it was okay. It's like, okay, it's time now. And everything conspired, somebody came along that could do it, and I was okay with it. And it turned out to be a lot better than I thought. It turned out to actually make my anxieties a lot less.
That's great. Right now, I have to take a moment just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. And you're listening to We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with experiencer and an author, Nancy McLaughlin. And let's see, we were talking about shadow people. I don't know how we got off on that, but I guess I was going to ask, do you think that these beings are alien from other planets, other dimensions, or spirits? Spirits, of course, would be other dimensions, wouldn't they?
That's such a good question. For most of my life, I believed that there was two things going on. One was I was interacting with a flesh and blood kind of being that came from outer space in a ship. And the other thing was mental illness. All the other weird things that were happening concurrently, that's when it was the only thing I could think of was it meant there was something really wrong with me. And I didn't know there was anybody else having those experiences. I thought it was my personal crazy. And so I didn't talk about it. And when I talked about how the timing became right for the hypnosis and a hypnotist coming along, the other thing was that people started talking about those weird paranormal things that happened to abductees. It was like, oh, it's not just me. I can talk about this now because it's other people. And so I think it's a mixture of both, to tell you the truth. I think that a small amount of them are beings coming from someplace else in a ship.
And
I don't know if
the rest.
they're coming. I don't know if they're coming across space or they're coming out of another dimension. And then I think that the rest of it is some kind of intelligence that we don't understand at all. That is, I don't know if it's just playing with us or there's an actual agenda. Some of the things that they do seem just cruel.
You can imagine then, in fact, you'll know how animals in the wild consider us humans when we anesthetize them. Can't even say that word. Put them to sleep and check them out and maybe operate on them and how they regard us. So.
Yeah, I think I can tell you. I was 9 years old when I watched some nature documentary with my dad, where they tagged mooses.
Mooses? Moose?
Mooses, mooses,
Moose.
moose. And I remember thinking that's what something did to me. I don't know why I thought it. I didn't really understand what was going on, but I thought, that's what happened to me. They know everything I do and everywhere I go, and I've been tagged. And that thought just stayed with me.
Feel you've been tagged? Where would they have put the tag or the
They put something behind my left eye.
okay.
I don't know if that's what that was. But I think that they gather people up. They tagged them. And what scares me is that at someday in the future, they can turn them on as, manipulate them somehow. And I don't know if they're if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know,
I really don't think that's the case. I think that I think it would have happened by now, you know what I'm saying? And there's no evidence to show that. I think that they're simply to keep track of you, find you if and when they want you again. If and
Well,
when
yeah,
they want them again.
obviously, yeah. Especially when you're of childbearing age,
That's
because I noticed I had to have an emergency hysterectomy about 15 years ago, and the interaction dropped right off.
Same thing
And
happened with my sister, and happens with many, many others, you know.
Huh.
So
Whenever somebody tells me that, I'm just like, half of me is relieved that I'm not the only one that thinks it. And the other half of me is like, oh my God, it's real.
I was going to say before we took that station break that when you said I thought I was going crazy, a saying that a truly insane person never doubts their own sanity. So if you think you're going crazy, you're
Oh, well, that's a relief.
all right. So.
Because there are still days when I go, this just can't be something real.
Right.
It, you know, it's, and then I think the sheer number of people sharing this journey with me, we can't all be crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if that were the case, that would be a phenomenon in itself, wouldn't
Yeah, it would be the, I mean, even if you didn't believe that it was aliens, it would be a phenomenon that should be looked into
Oh, yeah.
because it's so widespread.
So you say that you prefer the term visitors because you have doubts about whether or not they're truly alien. So what do you think these visitors are? And from where do they originate? Do you have a guess?
Yeah, my gut feeling is they come out of another dimension and the ocean.
And the ocean.
Yeah, I think that they are that the whatever comes in and out of the dimension is also in the ocean. It's the same thing.
They have bases there.
And I really don't know. I mean, that's my gut feeling after a long time thinking about this and a lot of reading and stuff, is that it makes so much more sense to me to be able to jump through a dimension than to try to overcome all of the problems with traveling through space.
Right, and the time involved.
Right. I mean, maybe they don't originate in another dimension, but they use it to get here.
Right. You're familiar with Einstein's Rosen Bridge, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I don't really under, I guess I don't really understand how you could go through a black hole and not be obliterated, but I guess we don't really know what happens when something goes through a black hole.
what scientists feel would happen, but and then they turn around and say, well, if you can bend time and space and go from point A to point B instantaneously, you're going through a black hole. And I'll tell you what, in my experience, I witnessed that. I witnessed them coming out of a hole in the sky. Have you?
No,
No.
no. I've seen them appear, and I've seen things appear that can't possibly, they couldn't have gotten there in any way that makes sense to me. Or I can here I'll give you an example. Over 30 years ago, I was driving back from Ionia, Michigan, to a small town where I lived, and I was on a secondary blacktop road with my kids, and my kids were in grade school, and I saw this red kite, this brilliant red kite up ahead over the trees. And this road went goes through, it's all farmland and woods and stuff, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I'm just really bothered by this red kite, and I think when I get past this line of trees, I can see who's flying that kite. I can't wait to see who's flying that kite. And I get past the line of trees, and there's nobody flying a kite, but now there's a jet. And this jet is in this little field, and it takes up the whole length of the field. And it's hovering about, I don't know, 12 feet off the ground, but there's no.
A jet
But
airplane?
that's what it looked like, but there was no disturbance on the ground. There
Right.
was no grass moving or bushes whipping or anything like that.
Right.
And It's just like, why would that be here in the middle of nowhere in this field? And why isn't it? It's almost like it's sitting there in suspended animation, and it just really bugged me. And my oldest daughter says, she didn't tell me this until quite recently, that after we went home, military people came to the house to the door and talked to me. But I don't remember it.
Talk to you or talk to your daughter?
No, talk to me.
Okay.
But I don't remember it. And anyways, so this plane that was in a spot where it couldn't be acting like it couldn't act just really bothered me. And that was one of the things I got hypnotized about. And under hypnosis, it wasn't a plane. It was a disc. And they had a hose running down onto the ground, and they had two hoses. One was pulling something out of the ground, like sucking up dirt, I guess, or something. And the other hose had a liquid, and it looked like mud coming out of it. And I was told that they were taking something out of the dirt that they were using that they needed to grow food for hybrids on ships to keep them healthy. There was something in the soil they needed that they couldn't get any other way. And there was a American flag decal on this ship. And there was a gray wearing something that looked like an astronaut's suit. And that's what my daughter told me, that what she saw when we stopped in the road to look at this plane was she saw people in what looked like hazmat suits walking around underneath it. And I didn't remember that. Even under hypnosis, I only remembered the one gray. I didn't remember a bunch of people. But
So your daughter is having these experiences as well, correct?
yes. My younger daughter claims she remembers almost nothing, but she's also really afraid, so I'm not sure. I know she had a really strange experience with her baby that she does admit to, where right after he was born, she said she was sitting up rocking him, and blue light came down and engulfed both of them. And this blue light was full of symbols, and this and she said it was scanning them. And that's pretty much the end of stuff she remembers, or that she'll admit she remembers. The older one has had a lot of things. She remembers going to school with this boy. She was always asking me when she was a kid, "Who is this boy? Where did this boy go that used to come and play with me? I miss this boy, and I don't know who he was. Do you remember who he was?" And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember this boy." And then finally, as an adult, the story I finally got was that he would come, this a boy who would wear, like, she wasn't sure whether he was wearing a hoodie or a robe or something, but his head was covered because he had a big head. And he would come and get her, and they would go in the closet in the hallway by her bedroom and go up into the attic, where he would teach her how to manipulate this blue light that came out of a box, and he would tell her things that she'll remember later. And she really liked him, and was really sad about when he stopped coming.
Does she remember anything about that today as an adult?
I mean, she didn't
Does she?
tell me about it till she was an adult. I mean, she didn't explain to me the whole thing.
Yeah, but you say that he was teaching her things that she would remember
Oh,
as an adult. Does she remember
okay.
anything that she's supposed to?
Yes. She
What?
remembers that he was training her to be a facilitator, like to help people understand them and to be a teacher. And what she was supposed to teach was she's supposed to teach that we need to trust them. They're not going to hurt us. And something along those lines. I don't remember exactly. But, and she ended up becoming a college professor.
Okay, so there's the teaching involved, right?
Right. Yeah. She's a mathematics professor.
Ah.
And,
Yeah, they say that ET's into, shall we say, into mathematics. Well, they'd have to be, you know? And
they are.
crop formations that they find, seem to be mathematics, a lot of mathematics involved, and music within it. And
Yeah.
music, of course, is deals with mathematics as well.
Feel like there's, when you said music, it's like I can almost remember something about them and music, but I can't remember what it was.
How do they communicate with you? Do they speak in English or what? Telepathic.
I think I just get the idea in my head.
Telepathically, right?
Sometimes, yeah, it's telepathic. It's I've heard them make sounds, but they don't mean anything to me. The communication either comes as a just a completely fully formed idea, but sometimes it's almost like a conversation. This t the bigger gray that I've seen since I was little and I don't like, I have had conversations with him before. Short conversations, where it was like I think one thing and he thinks something back. They weren't real extensive that I remember, but usually it's just like an entire block of information, is there.
But it all comes in at once.
Yeah, it's not like. It took a few minutes to tell me. It's like, okay, I know the whole thing right now.
So I need to take one more break to remind our listeners you're listening to WHFR.FM Making Waves. And you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm your host, David Twitchell, and we're speaking with author and experiencer Nancy McLaughlin. And so you had mentioned in your presentation that your family experienced poltergeist activity in your home as well. What kind of poltergeist activity? And do you feel that maybe this is poltergeist as opposed to alien? Are you thinking about this, Nancy?
Thinking about it, there's one instance where I have to kind of wonder about the age I was at when it happened, except it happened concurrently with a abduction, so I don't know. There's I'll just tell you the story.
Thank
That'll be easier. When I was 8, 9 years old, I was living with my mother, who was separated from my father, and she was working full time and going to school to be a nurse. So I was raising myself, basically. And we lived out in the country in this old farmhouse. And in that house, we both experienced giant white owls, little owls, a whistling man, a violent banging inside the house, not like a water knock or something, but I mean just really We experienced a sound like a barrel rolling down the stairs and hitting the door at the bottom, and you could actually see the door bend and crack, but then there would be nothing there. A fire started in the house.
A choir? You say a choir?
No, a fire.
Oh, a fire.
Yeah. We woke up one morning and the kitchen curtains had been pulled over so that they were shut into the oven door and the oven turned on. And it was just it was a very stressful period in my childhood between my parents. So that's why I say I'm not sure about the poltergeist thing. If you believe in poltergeists and children, maybe that was the answer, except that when they ran me out of the house, scaring me, I was abducted. So maybe it was just a chance thing. Other than that, no, I don't think it was poltergeist activity. It didn't seem like what I would think of as poltergeist activity. Things would disappear in our house and reappear in weird places. They would move on their own in front of me. And I think that was, I really hated that. And
Don't blame you. So, have these visitors ever given you any profound message regarding themselves or humanity?
the idea that I have got from them, I hate to say this because it sounds like it's, I don't, pompous, but ever since I was in middle school, let's say age, I've felt like they want me to do something. I don't know what it is. They want me to do something, and it's important that I do it. And I think maybe it was write this book because the feeling's gone. But I hate to say I've been picked for an important mission by the aliens because it just sounds really weird. But yeah, I've always felt like I was supposed to do that. And I've always felt that they want us at least to believe that they're not a threat to us, that they want the people that they abduct, they want the genetic material, but they also want them to be on their side. They feel that there's a confrontation coming between us and them, and they want people to stand as what they consider the voice of reason against, let's say, the military and whoever wants to turn it into an opportunity to further war.
Yeah, it's been predicted that there will be a false flag operation where
Exactly.
yeah.
Yes. And I see it setting up right now. I think
What do you
I
see? What do you see set up?
think that the government admitting that there's UFOs, UAPs, whatever, is the beginning of the next step is convincing us that they're dangerous to us. And I don't believe they're dangerous to us, at least not the ones we've dealt with so far, because if they were, they have totally have the upper hand and they've probably had it for thousands of years.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think that they probably want us to stop ruining the planet. I think maybe because they're getting either they live here too or they're getting something from it also. I don't believe that they're waiting to invade and turn us into dinner or something.
Serve man, huh?
But I think that the government and there's certain people in the government and the military want us to believe that. And it's a reason for them to, stick weapons in space or whatever crazy thing they want to do, or they probably already have, but.
Yeah, they say that the prediction, anyway, is that our government or governments will attack us and kill our own people and blame it on alien beings. We've already admitted,
Right.
they'll say, we've already admitted that UFOs exist, and
Yep.
now you see they're a threat. They're killing our people. We have to fight back.
Yeah.
Well, poor aliens are sitting back there saying, what? Wasn't me.
I think that's exactly it. I think that's what they think is their fear is that that's going to occur. And that's the only kind of message I get from them, you know, stop wrecking the planet you live on and don't believe these people. Somebody has to stand up and show common sense.
And that would be you, me. I think that my purpose is to have this show and to have people on the show like yourself to testify as to what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm no big deal. I'm my purpose is to provide a platform for people like you. That's the way I feel anyway. So.
Yeah, see that's your big important thing to do.
Yeah, well, we all have a, we're all
Yeah.
a cog in the wheel, right?
Right. I have a memory of 50, maybe 100 people. I would say maybe 17 to 35 years old, standing in the dark on a in a golf course. And I'm standing there too. And we're all standing there just frozen, staring straight ahead, except for some reason I remember it. And we're all waiting our turn to go on the ship and have something done to us, and then we'll all go back home. And I woke up with grass in my bed and stuff after. So I'm like, I don't know if that really happened, but
Yeah.
my point is, I think they've taken a lot of people. Lot more people than people think, and try to tell all of them the same thing. You know, I
But
think there's.
people just won't come forward with it because, like you say, they'll think you're crazy, but
Right. Yeah. And when my kids were young enough that I had kids at home, and if I said something crazy, it was going to affect their lives. It was different. But now, you know, they're grown up. And if I say crazy things, then that's my problem.
no. So, have you ever considered it might just be dreams, or should I say nightmares?
No.
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 You've had multiple witnesses to some of these events.
Yep. I've had, let me see, my cousin has been with me. My other cousin has been with me. I had my husband, my daughter, her husband, and my mother. We all had an experience together. I've had experiences with my late husband, experiences with my kids. Enough so that I know that some of it, at least, was not a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, I admit, like when I heard a like just like that sound, and I woke up standing in the road in my nightgown in the middle of the night watching a light fly away, and then I just calmly went and got in bed, and I didn't really think about it for years afterwards. But you know, you think back and you go, well, that was probably a dream, except I don't feel like it was a dream. I feel like it really happened. I really went outside. Well, I know I was out in the road when I woke up or came to or whatever. No, I can't swear that it's a dream, but I don't believe it is.
So you heard a banging sound? Did that wake you up, or?
It was like a crack, kind of noise, just like that. Like when I slapped my hands, it was like, and all of a sudden I'm standing in a dirt road in the dark. In my nightgown, watching this light fly over the neighbor's house, and saying bye.
Did you ever approach that in a hypnosis session?
And in hypnosis, I went out there and there was an acorn-shaped object to my left, about maybe 10 feet tall and 8 feet across. It wasn't huge. I don't even know what it was. And there was a that the tall gray that I call Bob that has always been around is there. And he's over here to the side with another one. And that's when they cut my head open. And he took a light and he cut my head open. He froze me with a light so I couldn't look at what he was doing because I was trying to look and I couldn't. I actually got a stiff neck from trying to turn and look at him. And I got a stiff neck again in hypnosis from doing it. But they cut a hole, a slice. He made me, I asked him what he was doing and he showed me like a zipper. Like they zipped open the cells and they stuck something in there and they zipped the cells back shut. And I've had migraines behind that eye my whole adult life. And that happened when I was probably about 20 years old.
So have you had X-ray or MRI on that area? Doctor looked at it?
I don't have money to have an MRI out of curiosity.
Well, then you really don't know if it's still there, huh?
Oh, I was asked in hypnosis if it was there, and I answered it dissolved.
It dissolved.
That's what I said under hypnosis. So I don't know if it did or not.
Wow. Yeah, typically, huh?
But I still have the headaches there. I've had migraines there my whole life, and it might just be a coincidence, but maybe not.
Maybe not. So, what have you ever wished that this visitor phenomenon had never come into your life?
Oh, when my kids were little, yeah, because I was terrified they would get my kids. And I was terrified that people would find out about me and it would embarrass my kids. Now I'm glad.
You glad
Now
it
I'm glad.
happened? You glad you're part of the phenomena?
I'm glad that it stretched my mind. Because, I grew up in a hick town in the middle of nowhere, and although I'm fairly intelligent, I like to think and I like to read, I probably wouldn't have bothered to learn a lot of things that I got interested in because of that. I wouldn't have bothered to learn a little bit about quantum physics, and I wouldn't have, and about the world. I wouldn't, I just, I don't think I would have learned a lot of things. I'd be a different person. And I'm finally at a point in my life where I kind of like who I am. So no, I don't now. I did then.
So, do you have any reason to believe that these are multi-generational events?
Oh, yeah. My dad's father lived in Canada, Saskatchewan, and he, or sometime around the turn of the century, watched a cigar for hours. He said it sat in the sky all day. Somewhere, I'm guessing it's around Estevan, which is close to the United States border, but I don't know, and I've never found a re record of it. My mom, she saw a giant green orb go down the Grand River. She lived in Lansing when she was a kid. And she thought it was some kind of meteor that she didn't understand. But then looking back years later, she was like, oh, there's no way that was a meteor. It was as big as a house. And it was going, past me. And she lived out in the country and she regularly had these orbs come down out of the sky and sit on her mercury light. And the owls, different things. My kid. Obviously, and my grandson.
What about your grandson?
The one that had the blue light come down over him.
Okay.
There's been some odd stuff with him. He's autistic, and he was diagnosed at 2.5 as being severely autistic and nonverbal. And when he was about 4, my older daughter, the one who is a math teacher, got a message from her deceased father. He gave her a blue star, told her to put it into her nephew's head. She sort of psychically sent it to me because she said, "I don't know what to do about this, but I can't not do it." And so we went, "Okay, well, we'll do this exercise. You send it to me, and I'll put it in his head. We'll meditate and do this thing and see what happens." And he started talking the next day.
Oh my.
And he talks nonstop now.
Yeah,
And
that's great.
I don't know the explanation for that. I don't know if you've put that under miracle or, but I think that the blue light, they had some kind of interest in him, or something did.
And how big were these owls that you're talking about that you've seen?
Oh,
As tall as a person?
3 feet, 3 feet.
Yeah.
Take up the bathroom window, take up the bedroom window. That's my mom was seeing those. While she was seeing those, I was seeing little white owls like this big. And I was seeing them during the day. And they kept landing. We lived out in the country, and they kept landing in the grass behind my house. And I kept going out there and trying to find them, and I could never find them. So, maybe they were just owls, but it was kind of weird.
It's
And
very often experiencers will claim they saw these owls with the big black eyes. Well, these are screen memories that are put in their head by extraterrestrials or other dimensionals or whomever these people are or beings are, so that they won't be seeing these beings as they truly are. Do you think?
yeah, my mom didn't know why they bothered her at the time, but it she was not a scary person. Things that would scare other people never bothered her, and she was used to being in the country, so the fact that these owls were unnerving her so much was kind of odd. And they were big white owls with black eyes. And then years later, she heard about screen memories. I remember her telling me about it, and at the time I thought, "Oh, that's stupid." And now, years later, I go, maybe that's what that was, because I
Her
don't think
book.
we have any 3 foot owls.
Right. Her book is Visitors from the Phenomena. Nancy McLaughlin, thank you so much for joining us today. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. But this is a truly fascinating experience and fascinating for us to listen to as an investigator and our audience. But it's just
Well,
another.
thank you for having me, and
Very
I
well.
hope people were interested.
It's very interesting. Very interesting. Thanks again. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archive shows. Or click on the Talk Shows button, then the We Are Not Alone button for the latest show archives. And please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.